This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, we're teaching about how to deal with disappointment. You've got some disappointments in your life. Amen? There are some things that have happened in your life that you didn't want to happen. And there are some things that have not happened in your life that you have desired to happen, and you've been disappointed. We all are going to have to deal with disappointments in life. There are going to be things that we desire with all our heart, and it's not going to happen the way we wanted it to happen, and we get disappointed. How many of you have ever been disappointed in love? Thought that you loved that person, and worse, you thought they loved you. Amen? Amen. And their behavior, what they said and what they did when you thought they loved you, was a severe disappointment. Some of us are going, been there, done that. See, God never promised that we would be shielded from all disappointment in life. Well, today, we want to find out how to handle disappointment. We want to look at a woman who was severely disappointed in her life. Go over to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Start with verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. You want to talk about somebody who was disappointed? Here is a woman, got married with high hopes. The only thing she looked forward to in her life was having children. Because in that day, in that time, in that culture, for a woman, your identity was wrapped up in your children. And so the one thing that she wanted in life, she couldn't have. You want to talk about somebody who was disappointed? That was Hannah. How did Hannah deal with her disappointment? Well, she didn't handle it very well in the beginning. In fact, look again at 1 Samuel chapter 1, at verse 7. So it was year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her, and therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Now look at what was going on. This man had two wives. That was his first mistake. Amen? Amen. Elkanah had two wives. And you can understand the situation. If your wife number one and wife number two comes along, guess what? There's a feeling of competition. And remember that the scorecard is how many children do you have? And so here is Peninnah. Man, she's pushing out children every year. Boom, boom. And Hannah has nothing. And so, of course, Peninnah got on her case. Every time Hannah would come in the house, Peninnah would walk up and she'd have a baby in her arms. And she'd look at Hannah and say, say hello to your Aunt Hannah. Oh, Hannah, isn't he beautiful? Yeah. Oh, when are you going to have one, Hannah? See, she was on her case all the time. And Hannah said, I can't stand it anymore. Here's the first mistake that Hannah made. She lost perspective. She couldn't see what she had for being concerned about what she didn't have. Here is Elkanah, a loving husband, saying, I'm good to you. I give you double what I give my other wife. She must have been in a prosperous household. They could afford to take a trip to the temple to worship every year. She had a good life, except she didn't have a child. But the only thing that she was concerned about is what I don't have and not what I do have. How many times do we fall into that trap? Anybody here have the testimony, God has blessed me mightily in my life? Can anybody say that? God has blessed me. Amen. And so when we start thinking about what we don't have, how many of us remember how much God has given us? Amen. When we start thinking about that house that we want and we haven't been able to buy yet, how many of us get upset about, I can't seem to get the money together for a down payment on my house, and we forget about the fact that God has kept a roof over our heads for the last 20 years. Amen. Oh, man. They didn't promote me on my job. God, I thought that was going to be my promotion. Oh, Lord, why didn't they do that? I deserve the promotion. And God is saying, but you're right. But look at how I've blessed you all of this time. I've kept you in a job. I've kept you able to buy the things that you needed to have. I've given you a family. I've given you friends. I've given you so many things. Don't get focused on what you don't have. Think about what I have given you. Mistake number one that Hannah made was that she got so focused on her disappointment that she couldn't see what God had already given her. Let's see. I need somebody to come up right quick. Yeah, Kayshawn, you can come. Come on. Now, Kayshawn, understand, this is a demonstration. You don't get to keep it. All right? Now, suppose I come up to Kayshawn and say, Kayshawn, man, you know, I just really want to bless you with something. Here, look, Kayshawn, why don't you take that? All right. In fact, you look like you could use another one. Take that one. All right. And look, no, I don't think I'll give you this one. I may give that to Malaya, so I'm just going to hold on to this, okay? Mm-hmm. All right. Now, I know Kayshawn. You know what Kayshawn is thinking? I want that other one. How come he didn't give me the other one? Okay, the demonstration's over, Kayshawn. Now look, God comes up to us and he's given us so much good in our lives, so many good things. Man, the equivalent of this is just a 20, but what is God giving to us on a daily and weekly basis? Man, and he comes and he puts that in our lives, and wow, we say, thank you, Lord, and then he comes along and gives us something else, and we say, thank you, Lord, and then we see something we want, and God says, I'm not going to give that to you right now, and we say, Lord, what's wrong? Isn't that the way we look at it? Isn't that the way we handle it? Everything that God has given us, when we want something we don't have, we throw it out the window. Instead of, there was a song years ago that said what? Count your blessings. Amen? You want to deal with disappointment? The first thing that you need to do when you feel disappointed about something that happened or didn't happen in your life is back off from that particular situation and start looking at what God has given you. Go over to Psalm 107. Look at verse 21. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Don't spend your time talking about what you don't have. Spend your time giving God the praise for all that he has given you. And that'll turn your disappointment into joy. Now, here's the second thing. Second thing that Hannah did that was a wrong way of handling her disappointment. what I want you to see, what I want you to focus on is in verse 7. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Hannah went years crying and complaining and not eating and being miserable year after year after year after year. All she would do is cry, and it did her absolutely no good. It did her absolutely no good. She would complain and cry. Parents, you take your child to the store, and your child says, Mommy, Daddy, I want one of those. And you say, no, I don't want you to have that. It costs too much, or it's got too much sugar in it, or it's not good for you, or I just don't want to give it to you, whatever. And your child says, I want it, 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 I want it. Why? Now, parents, when your child throws that tantrum, how many of you does that make you feel more like giving it to them than you did before? Now, I'm not asking you how many of you finally give in and do give it to them, because you shouldn't do that. Amen. But how many does it make you feel more like giving it to them when they throw a tantrum? Or does it make you feel less like giving it to them? You see, when we get disappointed because God didn't give us something that we wanted, and we come up and we cry and we whine and we complain, oh, I feel so bad. God, why didn't you give it to me? Oh, please, God. Do you think that God is moved by that stuff? Understand, God is a good parent. Amen? Parents, if your child is throwing a fit in a store, you don't fix it by giving in. You take him home and give him something else. Amen? God is a good parent. He's not going to be moved by that whining and complaining stuff. Year by year by year, all Hannah did was just complain and cry. And nothing changed. Nothing changed. Let's look at another example. Go over to the book of Ruth. Talking about wrong ways to handle it when you're disappointed. Book of Ruth, chapter 1. Naomi was an Israelite woman. And she had a husband and two sons. And they left the land of Israel, went to the land of Moab, and while they were there, Naomi's husband died, and both her sons died. And Naomi became a bitter woman. Go down to verse 19. This is how Naomi is talking about herself. She said, the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Verse 19. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? But she said to them, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, which means bitter. Call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. Do you see how Naomi was handling her disappointment? She blamed it on God. She said, God has dealt with me bitterly. In fact, she was so bitter against God that she changed her name. Don't even call me Naomi anymore. Call me bitter. Can you imagine that? Call me bitter. From now on, when I sign my check, bitter. Her whole life was turned to bitterness because she lost her husband and she lost two sons and she blamed it on God. Understand this. When you are disappointed, God is not the problem. God is never the problem. God is in the business of doing good to us and not bad. Amen? God is not the problem. Go over to Jeremiah 29:11. I'm going to read it to you from the New International Version. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. See, that's the thing that we hold on to when we are disappointed because something hasn't happened the way we want it to happen in our life. Something hasn't gone the way we thought it would go. Don't blame God. Don't think that God is against you. Don't think that God doesn't like you. And has anybody ever felt that way? You looked at the way that you have lived. You looked at some of the things that you have done. You looked at some of the ways that you have messed up, and you reached the conclusion, God doesn't really like me very much. And so you stopped expecting good things from God. And when evil things came your way, you said, God's getting back at me. Don't blame it on God. God is never the problem. Why? God has good plans for us, plans for to give us a hope and the future. God is never the problem. Instead of blaming it on God, let's look at an example that'll show us how we should handle it. You'll remember that in the book of Job, God gave Satan permission to deal in Job's life so that Job could prove that he loved God for himself rather than just for what God could give him. So God gave Satan permission to do some things in Job's life, take away some of the things that he loved in order to demonstrate that Job would continue to love the Lord even when he was disappointed. Job chapter 2, starting with verse 7. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Do you see it? Job had the wisdom to understand, even when I am disappointed, even when the way is hard, it's not because God is not on my side. In fact, God will take me through not only the good times, but he will take me through the times of adversity. And whether it's a time of what I consider to be a good time or an adversity time, in either case, God is blessing me. Job's wife said, "You ought to just curse God and die." You ever had some of your relatives come across with some advice like that? Dumb advice, stupid advice. You got to know who God is. Amen. You got to know in the depths of your heart that God is not your enemy. He is for you and not against you. No matter what you're going through, God is on your side, and he has a plan to bring you out victorious on the other side of that issue, whatever it is. Don't let anybody give you the idea that God is your problem. God is the solution. He is never the problem. Go back over to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Look at how Hannah finally got it right in handling her disappointment at not having a child. 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting with verse 9. So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Now, do you see the difference from what she was doing all of those previous years? Those previous years, she was weeping. She was in anguish. But what was different now? She prayed. She prayed. She brought it to the Lord. Instead of moaning, groaning, and complaining about how bad things were, she finally got serious, got down on her knees, and prayed. Finally, Hannah prayed. And look how she prayed. Okay, verse 10 again. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. It says she poured out her soul to the Lord. Understand this. You don't have to put on a happy face with God. You don't have to come before God and try to con God into thinking, oh, I'm so happy, and inside you're dying. God already knows your heart. Amen? You can be real with God. Go over to Matthew 26, starting with verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be, listen now, this is Jesus, he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus was real when he prayed. Amen. He was in anguish of soul. The scripture says that when he was kneeling there praying, he sweat as it were drops of blood. That's how much anguish he was in. He wasn't playing games with God. He poured his heart out before the Father. When you are disappointed in life, don't try to put a happy face on it before God. You go to God and you tell him what's on your heart. God can take it. Whatever that anguish is in your heart, you take it to God. But you don't stop by just pouring out the anguish. You got to take it a step further. What did Jesus say? Nevertheless, what? Not my will, but your will be done. What was he saying? Father, I trust you. I trust you to handle it. Father, this is what I want. I don't want to have to go and die on that cross. But I trust you to do the right thing. I put myself in your hands. When we trust God, when we come to him praying, not just pouring our heart out, but praying in faith that God is going to handle it, that's when God moves. So don't be afraid to come and tell God what you feel. Don't be afraid to come and tell God how you feel. Let your heart break in the presence of God. Now, let me come back to the other side of that now. When you come to God, you let it all hang out. Everything that's in your heart. Amen? But you don't have to come in the church and somebody asks you, oh, how you doing? Oh, man. I've been praying about this for the last 6 weeks. You know, it just hadn't happened, and I don't know. I just don't know if I'm going. No. Be real with God. Let your heart come out before God. But when we come into the family of believers, we come not only for ourselves, but what? We come having an influence on everybody else, and we want to stand on the word of God, not talking about how bad it is, but talking about what we know God has promised to do. Amen? Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Hannah finally got it. She got down and she poured her heart out to the Lord. But when she finished praying, she was no longer in anguish. She was no longer crying out, oh, I don't have what I desire to have. Look at what it says again in verse 18. Then she said, let your maidservants find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. She prayed. And then she got up and went away, and her face was no longer sad. But what happened in between? Eli the priest, the man of God, said, God is going to grant your petition. What made the difference? She was crying out to God in anguish one moment, and the next moment she gets up, her face is joyful, she goes and gets her something to eat, she's got a snap in her step. What made the difference? the man of God showed her the promise of God, and on the basis of that promise, everything changed. See, you go into your closet to pour out all of your grief and anguish and disappointment before the Lord. But before you come out of that closet, you need to find the promises of God in His Word that are going to change your attitude. Amen? Once she knew that God had said, I'm going to handle your situation, she was able to put off all the grief and come out in joy. How many of you know that God will handle your situation? Whatever it is that has disappointed you in your life, God is going to handle that situation. Now understand this. I can almost guarantee this to you. He will not handle it on your timetable. Amen? He will not handle it on your timetable. Those of you who are parents, again, if your child sees a piece of candy and wants that piece of candy, and you say, no, you can't have it now, but I'll let you have it next week. Does that satisfy your child? No. When does your child want that piece of candy?
Right now.
Now. Amen. Amen. Catch this. When we are spiritually immature, spiritual babies, we want everything now. Amen. We are dissatisfied if God doesn't come through with what we want right now. And part of growing up is understanding that God's timing is exact and God's timing is perfect. He knows exactly what He's doing. Remember back when you were 14 or 15 and you wanted to drive? Especially if you were a guy. You figured, I already can handle this. And if your dad or your mom had a car, you kind of sneaked around seeing if you could drive that car. Amen. But guess what? There was a time. It was coming. You will be 16 one day. And you can get a legitimate license. We have to learn to wait on God's timing. And what allows us to wait on God's timing is when we know beyond any shadow of a doubt that God is on our side. He's not going to withhold from us that which is good. Now may not be the time. He may still have some work to do in our lives. He may still have some building to do in our lives. He may still have some shaping and molding to do in our lives to get us to the point where it's time for us to have that particular blessing. But when the time comes, amen, we talked last week, there is a due time. Trust God. Trust that even in the midst of your disappointment, He already has the best waiting for you. If you'll just stay on track, keep following Him, keep trusting Him. Don't let yourself get caught up in the moaning, groaning, and complaining about what you don't have and it didn't work and how come I don't have it. Believe that God is on your side, and due time will come.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Dairy Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Dairy or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomechurch.org. That's C-O-V-C-O-M-E-C-H-U-R-C-H commchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.